All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 32. But you know, something like that's got to be from the heart. It's got to be real. You can't manufacture that. If you do, then it's fake and it's not any good. So it's got to be what's in you. And we just don't have that in us that way. We got our other ways. Like that choir singing that song this morning. My, my, my. Every song in the hymn book. All in 5 minutes. That was awesome, man. Just sing the whole hymn book in 5 minutes. It's great. Yeah. All right. I'm sure you're familiar with this chapter. This is where Jacob is coming home. He's coming back to meet his brother Esau, and he's been gone for 20 years, 20 long years. And when he left, you remember the circumstances were not the best. As a matter of fact, his mama told him, "You better get out of here. Your brother's going to kill you." All right. So he had cheated his brother. Well, he didn't really cheat his brother. He knew his heart. And knew that he would only act on his flesh, and so he cheated him out of the birthright. Now, that birthright was important. That was the person that would take over as the head of the family one day. He would inherit everything his father had, and he would be sort of like the high priest of the family. And so he deceived. To get that, he was cooking stew when his brother Esau came back from a hunting trip. And when he walked in, he was just dying. You know, he starved to death. He's not going to make it. Oh, he just had to have some of that soup. And of course, Jacob was more than willing to give him some of that soup as long as he signed over the birthright to him. And that's what he did. He signed it over, but it was nothing to Esau, all right? Didn't mean a thing to Esau. He was willing to sell. That was a spiritual thing, by the way, all right? Please understand that. That was more of a spiritual thing than anything else. And Esau didn't care about it. So he just willingly gave it up and gave the birthright to Jacob. Now, the idea was that the firstborn was to inherit the father's birthright, the birthright of that family. And so it was Esau's, but he gave it up for a bowl of soup. All right, then the blessing. Well, it was the same way with the family blessing. And this one took a little bit more effort on Jacob's part. But the Bible says that his brother Esau was a hairy man. All right. Now, I've always kind of struggled with this. I've seen hairy people, you know. My grandfather was a furball. All right. He was just a furball. Jacob put animal furs on his arms. And his dad said, "Doesn't sound like Esau, sounds like Jacob." And he said, "Oh, no, no." He said, "I'm Esau." He said, "Here, touch my arms." So he put his arm down, and dad, who was blind, rubbed his hairy arms, which had animal skins on them. And it was what convinced him. "Sure, okay, I pronounce the blessing upon you." Well, that's when his mother told him, "You better leave." And so he did. And he's gone now for 20 years, and he's on his way back. All right, everybody see the foundation here? You see the story? All right, so 20 long years. And oh, how the Lord had blessed him. How the Lord had blessed him. It was absolutely amazing all that the Lord did. Now, as Jacob... Now, follow this now, because this is where I'm taking the message. As Jacob is coming home, it's probably a long trip, but as he's coming home, he is thinking about how good God had been to him. He's just reflecting on the Lord and how good God had been to him. Now look, please, if you will, at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." So in other words, he's praying to the Lord who told him to go home and that he would bless him as he went. All right, now look at verse 10. And here is the verse that I'm going to use for my message this morning. In verse 10, Jacob says, "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." In other words, I've been blessed beyond measure. There are two, I've got so much I had to divide my family into two different bands. Now, some of the commentators think that the reason he did that was to shield his family, at least half of them, from Esau should he come at them to go to battle, to go to war. So I'm not so sure I think that that's the reason. But nonetheless, I think it's just he was blessed so much. He just had so much they couldn't all travel together and get along. It was just too big of an endeavor. So he divided everything into two, and they came across the desert as two separate groups of people. Now, look at verse 10. "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies." So here is Jacob coming back, and he basically is praying and thanking God. He said, "Lord, I don't deserve all that you bless me with." Oh, by the way, do any of us feel that we deserve the blessings that the Lord has given to us? No way. No way. I submit to you, folks, that God has been 10,000 times better to you than you have been to him. I mean, that's all of us. Thank God for his blessing, and thank God for his mercies upon us. So I want to speak this morning on thankful for mercy. Thankful for mercy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you now for the word of God. Thank you, Father, for the songs that we have sung this morning. And thank you for the blessed privilege that is ours now to hear the word of God expounded on. So, Father, I pray you'll help me as I speak. I pray you'll bless our folks as they listen. And just give all of us ears to hear, and we'll rejoice in your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me just take you back for just a couple of seconds here, and make sure that we get a couple of key things that are necessary in understanding the prayer of Jacob here. This is a continuation of what started when Jacob and Esau were in the womb, were in their mother's womb. And you'll remember that the story of Jacob and Esau is one of conflict. Even in the womb, there was conflict that was taking place between these two. You will remember that Isaac and Rebecca had twin boys, Esau and Jacob. These two boys struggled before they were even born. In Genesis 25 and verse 22, we read that the Spirit of God wrote through Moses that the children struggled together within her. Rebecca noticed that this struggling was happening. I guess she would. And so she prayed to the Lord and asked, "What in the world is going on with these babies in my womb? What's going on here?" And the Lord answered her in chapter 25 of Genesis and verse 23. And here's what the Lord said. The Lord said that two nations were in her womb, and also two manner of people. Boy, that has sure worked out, hadn't it? All right. And so two nations, two manner of people. Now, the two manner of people are this. Look here. Jews and Arabs. All right. The Jews and the Arabs. Folks, listen. The conflict that is going on over there this morning is nothing more than the continuation of this conflict that started in the womb between these twin boys. It has never let up, and it's not going to let up until the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes back and establishes peace in Israel. It's never going to settle down. You hear the news and they say, they're having peace talks. Well, they can talk all they want, but it is not going to settle down until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus, comes back and establishes peace. That then it will settle down. Now, the Jews would come from the seed of Jacob, and the Arab nations would come from the seed of Esau. And these boys struggled in the womb, and they struggled as children, and they struggled as teenagers. And now here in chapter 32, as they're grown adults now, they are again struggling with one another. Now, I've already mentioned to you the issue with the birthright and the blessing. And Jacob, the name Jacob, it means trickster. Boy, they named him right, didn't they? That guy, you know, when you get Jacob and Esau, I'm going to be honest with you, I kind of like Esau as a man a whole lot better than Jacob. I mean, that little sneak, nothing was beyond his sneakiness. I mean, he just absolutely was a rotten kid. And so he tricked his daddy, Isaac, into giving him the family blessing, and he did that, remember, by putting the fur on his arms, the pelt from an animal, and claiming that it was that he was Esau, and so lying and deceiving his own father just so he could receive both the birthright and the blessing. Well, when that happened, Rebekah told Jacob that he had better get out of Dodge. Well, I guess Bethel, all right? Get out of Bethel. Leave. Your brother's going to kill you. And so she told him to flee back to her family, all the way back in what is today Iran, the country of Iran, to Padam Aram, where Rebekah's brother Laban lived. And he said, she said to him, now you stay there until your brother Esau cools down. So in chapter 27 and verse 41, we read that Rebekah's words were real. I mean, we are told there in Genesis 27:41, we are told that that Esau hated Jacob. And Esau said, once my father is dead, then I will slay my brother Jacob. So Mama knew what she was talking about, didn't she? Yeah, she knew Esau. She knew what he was capable of, and as only a mother would. And so he fled. Now, 20 years later, we come to chapter 32. And God has told Jacob, it's time for you to go home. It is now time for you to take everything and go back to your home. And in Judah. And so the thing that was on Jacob's mind as he is coming back is the fact that he is going to have to face his brother Esau. Now, think of this, folks. The Lord had blessed Jacob so much in that 20-year period that he was away. When he left the land of Canaan to go to his uncle Laban's house, all he had was a staff and the clothes on his back. That's all he had on him, a staff and the clothes on his back. And so now, 20 years later, when he leaves Laban and is heading towards home, he is amazed at how wealthy a man he has become. He realizes that he has immeasurable wealth. He realizes that he has these large herds of livestock. He's got cattle, he's got sheep, he's got camels. I mean, he is blessed beyond comprehension. Not only that, but he has two wives. You remember the deceiver got deceived. You remember that? Yeah. He wanted to marry Rachel. She was the pretty one and of Laban's daughters. And he said, I want to marry the pretty one. And Laban said, okay, but we have this little tradition here. You got to work for 7 years in order to get your bride. And so Jacob said, no problem. And so he did. He worked 7 years. Now, when the 7 years was up, he said, okay, let's have the wedding ceremony. And so they got Rachel all dolled up, got her behind her veil, and did the ceremony. And then Laban said, now you may kiss your bride. And he pulled the veil back, and lo and behold, Laban had switched daughters. He got Leah. All right, now you got to be careful here. But evidently, she was not all that much to look at. All right? I'm sure she was a nice gal and had a great personality. All right? All right, you got the point? And so he looks at Laban and he says, what did you do? And he said, well, we have this other little thing here in our country where the oldest girl has to be married off first. And I'm sure Jacob looked at Laban and said, well, don't you think that would have been a good thing to tell me 7 years ago? But anyway, the trickster got tricked. And so he said, well, I didn't want to marry this one. I wanted to marry that one. And Laban said, well, if you work 7 more years, because you see, folks, when God had blessed Jacob, in blessing Jacob, Laban got blessed as well. And so he just wanted Jacob to stay and work 7 more years for him. And so he agreed because he loved Rachel so much. So that 7 years went by. And now he is blessed beyond comprehension. And so he has large herds. He has 2 wives. He has 11 sons. And he has 1 daughter. And the Lord says, time to go back. So now, as he is going back, he is taking inventory at all that God had blessed him with. And he looks at his flocks, and he looks at his herds, and he looks at his children, and he looks at all the servants and the maids who worked for him and his family. And he realized, wow, God has sure been good to me. I went away with nothing. I just left here with an ordinary staff. And now I'm coming back home with extraordinary substance. And my, how God has blessed me. And I think that as he was thinking about all this, it just thrilled his heart beyond comprehension. And so he stopped and went down on his knees and prayed, thanking the Lord so for how God had blessed him in so many ways. He was simply so full of thankfulness and of gratitude. And so while he thought on these matters, I think he realized this is all of God. Everything I have is all of God. Hey, my friend, do you realize that today? Do you realize that today? You know, the Lord has sure been good to us, hasn't he? All right, now I think 2 things I think are that Jacob realized here, 2 very important things. Number one, first, I think he realized the God of his blessings. Notice in verse 10, he cries out to God and says, I am not worthy the least of all the mercies. You say, what mercies? Well, the mercies he is speaking of here are God's mercies. You see, folks, anything that God blesses us with, he blesses us through his mercy. We don't deserve any of what God has blessed us with. You know that. I know that. I mean, none of us deserves the rich blessings and mercies that the Lord has given to us. The mercies that he is speaking of are God's mercies. The mercies which the God of heaven has poured out upon him. Now listen to me, church. Listen. The source of Jacob's blessings was God and not himself. And he realized that. The blessings were from God, not from his own merit and his own ability. His blessing was not due to his own business genius. And I'm sure that he had some sort of business genius about it. I mean, look at all that he had. He had to have had a good mind on him, but that was not why he had all these blessings. No, the blessings and the genius, if he had any, even that was from God. You know, we sit around and we think about how wonderful we are. No, how wonderful is God? You say, but I did this. You could not have done that if God had not had mercy on you and blessed you. You see the point? Oh, Christian, listen, it's not me, it's not you. It is the mercies of God upon us. How we ought to be thankful for what God has blessed us with. And I'm telling you, we are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. I found I found a CD the other day, a CD. I was looking for a book, and I found a CD, and I pulled that CD out, and I looked at it, and it was like 2005 or 2004, somewhere back then. And so then I had to find a CD player. I don't even own a CD player, you know. But I had to, you know, I found it in my desktop, in my computer. And so I put the CD in, and I listened to the sermon. And man, my voice is old. My voice is so old. My voice is keeping up with me. I'll guarantee you that. But anyway, I sounded so young and vibrant. Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry. This is all you get. All right. But I was listening to that, and it was a Sunday night service, and about three quarters of the way through the service, I said something like this. This is not verbatim, but I said something like this. I said, folks, look around. Look around. It's a Sunday night service. I said, look around. This building is packed, and it's not always going to be like this. So we had better thank God for what He has blessed us with. I don't know what the future holds. Listen, I still don't know what the future holds, but I know this, I'm thankful for God's rich blessings upon the church, the Open Door. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. These guys up here don't deserve it, but we are the recipients of the blessed mercies of God Almighty. And oh, how we need to be thankful for that. Recognize, Christian, the source of all your blessings. I'm sure you are listening to me this morning, and the message is causing you to look over your own life and recognize the many ways in which God has blessed you. I have said from this pulpit so many times that all of us in this room are a blessed and prosperous people. Folks, I have been privileged because of this church to go literally around the world and preach the gospel. I was in a home jungle, if you will, of South America in Guyana, South America. Oh my, you talk about an impoverished group of people. Bless their hearts. Some of the sweetest people you'll ever meet. But all the poverty is just unreal. I could not fathom what I saw when I went out into the surrounding area. And there was a family that begged the pastor for us to come to their house and have dinner. And the pastor said to Brother Glenn Matthews and myself, he and I were together, and pastor said, now, guys, listen, these people don't have a thing. I said, well, you know, that's fine. Let's, you know, I don't mind going. Glenn said, well, I'll go. I'll try anything. So we went to this home, and it was a middle-aged couple. And when we walked into their house, of course, it was just clapboards. All right. Just slapped together a house up on stilts. A house up on stilts, and so no coverings over the windows. What windows there were? They were just openings. And when we walked in, I looked around, and this over here was the living room / bedroom. And as I looked at the bedroom, there were hammocks tied between poles, and there were two regular-sized hammocks and three little hammocks. No beds. No pillows. No blankets. You did not need a blanket. That was the hottest place other than in Bangalore, India. That was the hottest place I've ever been. Oh, so hot. We went in and sat down in these little handmade chairs. And they came over and set down a Dutch oven that the curry smell came out of that Dutch oven so strong it made your eyes water. And she brought over a big old pan of rice and just chunked it down on our plates. And then she said, "Let me serve you." And she took a big old spoon and dipped it down in that curry sauce and was trying to, I could hear she was scraping something along the bottom, and she pulled out chicken heads and necks. Curried, laid it right smack on my plate. She started digging for another one. I said, "I think I'm good. She didn't hear. I got another one. And Glenn's looking at me, and I'm looking at Glenn, and I kind of went, "Help. And he just smiled. He just smiled. He knew what was coming. Oh, my goodness. And so they served us. Then they served each other. And then they sat down. We prayed over the food. And then I started picking at the rice. And I thought, how in the world do you eat that? It's chicken heads and necks. Had the tongue still in it, had the little goatee on it, and had the little crest on it. How do you eat that? And I watched, and both of them just picked it up with their hands, and he smiled and said, "Believe it or not, there's meat in there." Okay. And he put it up and started slurping it. But you know, I remembered that Paul said, "Eat what's set before you." And so I started eating. And when it was all over and we flew home, you remember when you used to see folks get off an airplane and get on their knees and kiss the ground? That's real. I mean, that was the emotion in my heart. How thankful I am for the United States of America. How thankful I am. You know, I have never seen chicken necks at KFC. Have you? But that's what we ate. And they were curried. By the time I got out of there, my hair was curled. I mean, it was, whoo, that stuff was strong. Folks, I thank God for the blessings that he has given us here in America. Don't take it for granted, folks. Don't ever take it for granted. We were in Russia. And the last night we were there in January, end of January, in the first week of February. I guess because the travel agent had no clue what time of the year it was over in Russia. But man, was it cold. Snow, just a couple of feet of snow on the ground. And it snowed every day, just kept snowing. Whole time we were there. And this couple invited us over to their apartment after church. So Tom Queeder and I went with them. And we pulled in, got out of the car, and I looked over and saw the KGB that had been following me from the time I got there. My picture is in a file somewhere over in Moscow. numbers of times. All they did was take pictures of me. And so, we went in, and I noticed that they were there. We went 15 floors up, got out of the elevator, walked into their apartment that was bare. Bare. It was a nice apartment, but it didn't have any furniture. None. He went into a closet and pulled out some folding chairs that I didn't ask him where he got them from. I didn't want to know. And he set them up, and he pulled out a card table, and he set the card table up. And they were talking on the way to their apartment about how happy they were that they were able to buy a ham. And I thought, wow, we're having ham. That's awesome. This couple, they sacrificed and they bought us a ham. I looked at Tom and I said, they bought us a ham. So when we got there, there's a little chit-chat, talking. They fixed some tea. And then she said, well, I guess we better get the meal going. And so he got up, went to that same closet, and brought out a canned ham. You know? Canned. All right? She pulled the key off and hooked it to that little thing and started to spin it around and took the lid off of it. And Tom looked at me, and I looked at him, and I smiled, and he smiled. And they were just going on and on about this wonderful ham we were about to eat. And she said, would you like yours warmed up? And I said, sure. Sure. So she turned her little oven on and stuck the ham in there, and she said, 15, 20 minutes, it'll be ready. I said, okay, fine. So she said, how about eggs? I said, yeah, eggs are good. She said, how about potatoes? Yeah, potatoes are good. So she whipped up all this and put it on our plate, and we had Spam and eggs. It wasn't ham, it was Spam. But let me tell you something, folks, that's the best Spam I ever ate in my life. And we sat there and just devoured that food. And this little couple was so thrilled that we were there. And they were talking about God's blessings and how they had just found out she was going to have a baby. I mean, it was so precious. She said, do you want to see the crib? So he went back to that closet. I thought, good night, how big is that closet? And he pulls out this little crib that somebody in the church had made for them. And then all these little blankets, she comes carrying these little blankets in that the women in the church had made for her. And they were just rejoicing at the hand of God upon them. And folks, just stop and think what we have. Oh, how has God been good to us? And I thought of the contrast. In Guyana, I almost passed out several times while preaching from the heat. Then in Russia, I preached one night with my winter coat on. In the church. I'm telling you, folks, we're blessed people. We are blessed people. And thank God for His blessings. And here we are, all prone to pound our chest and brag at what we have done. No, my friend, no, no, no. It's what God has done. I had a braggart one time tell me, with his chest puffed out, he said, I'm a self-made man. Now, I didn't say it, but oh, I wanted to. I wanted to say, good, that relieves God of that responsibility. But I didn't dare. But we need to realize the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob is where our blessings come from. Isn't it strange how our courts today are telling us that we don't need God? That's basically what they're saying. Oh, let's take the Bible and prayer out of the public schools. Yeah, that's worked good, hasn't it? I mean, that's just worked out so well. What next? Well, let's take God out of the military. Folks, I'm going to tell you, when you are on the battlefield and people are trying to kill you, a good relationship with the Lord is important. And yet, our military is more concerned about DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Oh, my soul. Yeah, they're going to include themselves right out of a military, which is probably the goal anyway. God is the source of our blessings, folks. God is the source. Instead of education being centered around God and His Word, the courts have thrown God out of the whole process, and man has become the center of focus. And we wonder what has happened to our schools. Well, we have gotten rid of God, and we have replaced God with a false God. That God is humanism. Humanism, us. It's all about us. How do you feel? Tell me, how do you feel? How's your feelings? I went to my doctor and he said, are you afraid at home? You and I go to the same doctor? Are you afraid at home? I said, you are, Mike. Mike Brenner said, you mean thing, Trish. You're mean. Are you afraid at home? I said, what? He said, I have to ask this. No, you don't. I'm a grown man. And being afraid at home has nothing with me coming to make sure my heart's still working right. I mean, how do you associate the two? Well, I'm sorry. And I said, put on there, don't ask me them dumb questions anymore. Do you feel threatened? Are you under threat? Oh, please. Folks, our society is sick. And we need the great physician. Not all this gobbledygook that's going on today. These humanists that are running our country today would run God completely out of our society if we stand still and do nothing. But realize, dear friend, no matter how successful you have been, the reason is God. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Please, no one looking around for just a moment. Wonder how many would say, Pastor, you know, it's easy to get your eyes off of that simple little truth. The devil would have us look at anything and everything else but the truth that our blessings are from the Lord. So I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many would say, Pastor, pray for me this morning. It's easy to get sidetracked, and I realize I need to be like Jacob and just thank God for His rich blessings upon me. Lift your hand. Let's pray together about that. I got my hand up. I'll be honest with you. I need to realize that God is where it comes from. Yes, God bless you. How about upstairs? God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may put your hands down. All right, Father in heaven, you know our needs, and I pray that you will bless and meet the needs of our hearts today. I pray for all these hands. Father, so many of us have been blessed beyond measure. If we were to sit down and just start thinking about all the blessings that are ours, oh my, we would just go on and on and on forever. Because, Father, you have been so good to us. And I pray that you will bless hearts this morning. Draw us to your side. I pray the Holy Spirit will work in a great way. And Father, if there's someone here today who is not 100% sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, I pray that today will be the day they realize they need the Lord. Father, you know our hearts, and I pray that you'll bring conviction to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.